On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that, he breathed on them and said,
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it."
A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Thomas said unto him,
"My Lord and my God."
Then Jesus told him,
"Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed."
Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Come, Christians, join and sing. If you will, turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 231, and let's stand together as we sing.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we've come together to worship you. Father, I thank you for each one who's present today. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have in store for us. Lord, we invite you to be in our presence as we worship you. Be with us throughout this service, Lord, that every word that is spoken, every song that is sung, every prayer that is prayed, Lord, will just only glorify you. And we pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. It is my privilege to welcome all of you to worship this morning, and especially for our young people that have been out on spring break this week. I hope you've had a wonderful time. I'm sorry to break the news, but I think tomorrow you do have to go back. My wife, who teaches, also said, I just wish Billy Burrow would wake up in the morning and say, there's no school in Habersham County. But I'm sorry, I think y'all have to go back to school tomorrow. But I hope you've had a great week, and it's just good to have you here as we worship together. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you to fill out one of our guest visitor cards that's in the pew in front of you, and just take a moment to fill that out, and if you'll drop that in the offering plate when it comes by later in the service, that way we can record your visit with us today. And if you have any special needs or prayer needs, feel free to write that on there, and we will definitely be praying for you throughout this week. But again, it's a joy to have all of you here. And as is our custom here at First Baptist, we're going to enter a time of passing the peace. You'll find the words to the chorus, He is Lord. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing that chorus again today. So let's stand together, sing through that once, and then we're going to greet one another and come back one final time to sing. So let's stand as we sing.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Now let's greet one another this morning and pass the peace of Christ. As we sing this last chorus, we invite all of our children to come forward for our children's sermon. So children, come on down to meet with Pastor Eric.
He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Let's sing that one more time.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ.
Thank you, and please be seated.
All right. Now, good morning, everybody. Boys and girls, how are y'all? Y'all gonna look at me or everybody down here? I'll stay down here. We'll try this today. Now, I have a little experiment. Before we have an experiment, though, we've got to talk about what the experiment's about. Now, last week, what was last week? Remember what happened? Big holiday that happened last week?
Easter.
School was out. Yes, I know school was out this week. You remember what happened? Who said it? Easter. What do we celebrate on Easter? What happens? You remember what happens on Easter? Huh?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. What is the resurrection? Jesus was dead and he came back to life. Okay. Now this morning, Henry's dad and a couple of other guys read us a passage that after Jesus came back to life, he went to see all of his friends. He called them his disciples. And he went and all of a sudden they saw him and they said, "Oh my goodness, Jesus is alive." But there was one person who wasn't there. One of his special friends, one of his disciples wasn't there. And his name, you remember know what his name?
Thomas.
Thomas wasn't there. And then Jesus leaves. And all of his friends say, "Thomas, you miss something. Jesus came back." And you know what Thomas said?
"I don't believe you."
So I want to see what you guys would say. Let's see, who wants to be a volunteer for me for this experiment? Aubrey, you want to be a volunteer? Okay, I've asked Nikki that she's going to take you right outside this door here for just a second. We're going to do an experiment. All right, All right, go on out. All right, now I want you guys to look inside here. Okay, you see what's inside? Okay, you see what's inside? You see it? Do you see what's inside there? What, is any good? Okay, now, all right, Nikki, bring Aubrey back in. Now, when Aubrey gets back in here, I want y'all to tell him what's inside this bag. Okay? So let's see. Okay, come on back. All right, Aubrey, we've just had an experiment. All right, you come stand right here beside me. Now, everybody else here, all the other boys and girls, saw what was inside this bag. But you didn't, right? Have we gotten together earlier and you saw what's inside this bag? We're okay. So Henry and everybody else, I want you to tell Aubrey what's inside this bag. What do you think, girls? What do you think is inside? Now, Aubrey, I want you to tell me, what do you think is inside this bag?
Candy.
So you believe all of your friends. You think that if they can tell you it's candy, that it would be the truth. They wouldn't tell you a story. Well, man, you have just shown us what it's like to have faith. To have someone tell you something, you don't see it, and you believe it. So let's see if you're right. What's in there?
Chocolate
candy. Now, you think, guys, if I gave y'all a piece, y'all could wait until after church to eat it? Huh? Could you hold off? Or do you want to wait till after church to get it? We'll wait till after church and you come by and pick it up, okay? You can't eat that kind of candy. That's right. So after church, you come by and pick it up. So I want you to think about today, because you're going to hear a story just like we had happened today, the story of Thomas. Thomas heard something, but he had a hard time believing it. Aubrey, he believed you guys. And so we'll talk about why did Thomas have a hard time and why didn't Aubrey didn't. Okay? So I want you all to think about Thomas today, and let me send you back with a word of prayer. Okay? And now, Lord, as we continue with our time of worship, we pray you'll bless these boys and girls. May you just continue to teach them about your word and about what it means to follow after your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
As we continue with our worship this morning, you'll find the words to our offertory hymn in your bulletin, "In Christ Alone." It's a beautiful, newer hymn that I think many of you have probably heard before, but I want us to learn this today. So make sure you find these words in your bulletin, "In Christ Alone," and let's stand together as we sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commends my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Let us pray. Dear Father, creator of all that it is, and Jesus Christ, Savior of our souls, we've only to look around us to see your glory and to see that winter is gone, spring flowers are in bloom all over, the world is a choir and singing. Spring warblers are filling the forest with sweet arpeggios. Lilacs are exuberantly purple and perfumed, and cherry trees are fragrant with blossoms. The earth sparkles with new life, and we rejoice in our new life that we have through our Lord's resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for life, for new life, for beauty, for music, for food, for shelter, and for health. These are all gifts from your abundance, and now we return some of those gifts to you. I pray that you will guide the use of them to bring beauty, music, health, and joy, and the good news to people here and around the globe. Amen.
Thank you.
Thomas missed it. Mary Magdalene comes rushing back from the tomb. She's seen Jesus, the gardener. We talked about that last week. Her eyes, which have been all red and bloodshot and face all red from the emotions of the weekend since the crucifixion, she rushes back to this room where all the disciples are there, and she rushes and she says, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Earlier that day, Peter and John had already heard the word. She had rushed back and told them that the tomb had been rolled back and that Jesus wasn't in there. And so Peter and John ran as fast as they could outside of town all the way to the tomb. And when they get there, they see the bedclothes folded into the side. And the tomb is empty. And Thomas missed it. Peter and John come back, and when Mary finally arrives back, and she begins to tell them this story about seeing the gardener, they don't really believe her. They don't really know what's going on. Something is happening, and they don't know what it is. Maybe the Jewish authorities have stolen the body of Jesus, and now they're out to get the rest of them. And so instead of a great big celebration with Mary's announcement like we had last week, you know, full of families joining together in bright colors and wonderful expressions of music because Jesus who was dead was alive, what you see on Sunday night is you see all the disciples holed up in this upper room. The doors are locked. They're somewhere in the middle of old Jerusalem trying to make sure no one can find them. And Thomas missed it. The room is closed. It's locked off. Everyone has this feeling that something is happening. Mary is sitting there trying to help them understand what's happening, but no one will quite understand it when all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. At one moment, he's not there, and then at another, he is. And there's something different about Jesus. This isn't just his normal body, it's a resurrected body. Something is drastically different. He says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And Thomas missed it. And then Jesus pulls back the sleeves of his robe and he shows them his arms. Then he pulls up his robe and he takes off his sandals and he shows them his feet. And then without any embarrassment at all, he takes off his robe and he pulls up his undergarments so you can see the side. He wants everyone to know that it's him. And they believe. And Thomas missed it. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." And then the scriptures say that Jesus breathed on them. The Holy Spirit came out of him and he breathed on him and he said, "I send you." This is what all is about to happen again when we get into Acts chapter 2. And Thomas missed it. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was with them. His breath was powerful. And then all of a sudden, he was gone. Disappeared. And Thomas missed that too. No one knows where Thomas was. Thomas was called the twin. Obviously, there must have been another of him somewhere around in Jerusalem or Galilee. Knows why he wasn't in the house on that Sunday night. Frederick Buechner speculates this. He says, maybe Thomas was one of those folks whose personality wasn't one to break into panic like the rest of the disciples. Maybe he had gone out for a cup of coffee or just to sit into the park and for a while and watch the pigeons. Or maybe it was Thomas was holed up in his own hiding place, afraid the authorities might find him, the soldiers might track him down. Maybe he had been there since Friday when everything had come down. Perhaps he was like the Japanese soldier who washed up on Gilligan's Island, still fighting World War II, because he was been hiding out in some South Pacific island, didn't hear the war had ended. Maybe that was the case for Thomas. He was so afraid, he was hiding, and he missed it all. Maybe he missed the whole story of Peter and John ever coming back and saying what they had found at the tomb. Or it could be as simple that he was the one sent out for the supplies for the rest of the week. Someone needed to go get the food for them to be able to continue to live. And maybe it was Thomas. Or maybe he went out. And while he was away, Jesus showed up, breathing his presence, his peace, his mission upon them. All we know is that Thomas missed it. Everyone else was there, but Thomas was gone. And not only does he miss the presence of Jesus, not only does he miss seeing the body of Jesus, he misses out on the faith that accompanies that presence. Jesus shows all the other disciples his hands and his feet and his side, and they all believe. But Thomas missed their belief. Can you imagine Thomas's reaction when he finally shows up, maybe with a cup of coffee, maybe with a bag of groceries? Peter and John are jumping up and down, and they can't believe what is happening. Their eyes, which have been filled with grief for the past several days, are now flowing with tears of joy. Their faces of the whole crowd are flushed red, that they've seen God and been in God's presence. Hair and beards are disheveled because no one is caring about what they look like, because they're so excited about the miracle they've just experienced. And then there's the words and the talk and the conversation and the dialogue that just won't end. Conversations with one leads into conversations with the other as everyone is sharing about this experience they've had. Did you see the darkness of his scars on his hands? I couldn't get over the breath as he blew and it came through my body. Did anyone see how he came into the room? I was the last one here and I'm sure that I'll lock the door. Did he just disappear? I looked over to see Peter. When I came back around, he was gone. And Thomas walks into the room with his arms full, and all of this is happening. All of his friends have been changed. They've all experienced this. And he remains the same. He missed it. He still feels the same as he did on Friday when he knew they were crucifying him. And he still feels the same as he did on Saturday when he knew he was in the tomb. And now he feels the same even though people are saying otherwise. Thomas hasn't changed. And even as everyone begins to tell him their stories, Thomas isn't able to get it. Thomas, won't you believe what happened? Jesus was here. Jesus is alive. We know that it sounds crazy, but Thomas, you've got to believe us. Do you? But Thomas didn't. He didn't believe. He missed it. And the stories of the experience couldn't convince him otherwise. Buechner goes on to say, That imagination was not Thomas's long suit. He was the kind of person who called a spade a spade. He was a realist. He didn't believe in fairy tales, or if anything else came up that he didn't believe in or he couldn't understand, his questions were pretty direct. And every time he asked one of those disciples a question, he had missed the experience when he tried to understand it. It never could be answered to his satisfaction. And Thomas wasn't the kind of person who was willing to back away from a fight, but he had to be convinced first. Back in John chapter 11, when Jesus hears that his dear friend Lazarus has been sick and has died, the disciples try to talk him out of going back to the town of Bethany. The last time they were there, they had been threatened with death and run out of town, and they were made to feel in no uncertain terms that they were not welcomed in this community. But Jesus says, we've got to go back now and be with Mary and with Martha. I've got something incredible that needs to happen. All the other disciples were afraid to go back to Bethany. No one is willing to say anything when Jesus tells them we're going back. But it's Thomas that alone stands in solidarity with Jesus. He says, let us go with him so that we may die with him. He was willing to die for his faith, for his cause of Jesus. He was willing to follow him. And yet now that the others have experienced a new Jesus, Jesus in his resurrected form, and he hasn't, he doesn't believe. But he's not afraid to wait. What does Thomas not do? He doesn't go back to Galilee. He doesn't leave all of those friends that have experienced what he hasn't. He doesn't abandon his resurrected, rejoicing friends. He simply waits to see if this new experience is true. Sometimes we miss experiences too, don't we? Have you ever made a decision that placed you in a certain time, in a certain place, and because you had made that decision, you missed an experience that someone else who made a different one had? Last summer, we took my mom over to Seattle to visit my sister. And we started asking, we'd never been to Seattle, never been to the West Coast. And so we started asking folks, what do you need to do when you go to Seattle? Besides going to Pike's Mark, what else is there to do? And several folks mentioned, you have to go up to the San Juan Islands, which stands between Washington and Vancouver. And so there are these incredible whale-watching trips. You go up, and you want to go. It's one of the most powerful things to do. Seeing whales in the wild was just something Marsh and I had always dreamed about doing. And so even before we went, we found the best, most affordable whale-watching trip we could find, and we booked the date during the week. And when the week happened, we got there, and we chose the Wednesday because that was the week the best day of the week. And the whale watching said that 96% of the time we always see whales. I thought 96% of the time is quite an incredible percentage. So we on Wednesday morning we all walk down from our hotel, walk down to the docks, get on the Victoria Clipper. This is a beautiful boat that drives us all the way out of the Sound, all the way up to Friday Harbor in the San Juan Islands. We see this incredible. It's a beautiful blue sky day. You can see Mount Rainier and Mount Rose. These volcanoes are rising up in the distance. The bald eagles and harbor seals. It's the kind of things you don't see around here. Finally, we get to San Juan Islands, and while it was beautiful outside, it quickly began to have a little bit of a dark tinge to it as I made my way to talk to the naturalist who was sort of our guide along the trip, and I began to ask, you know, how long before we see the whales? She begins to tell me that the resident killer whale pod that lives there in the San Juan Islands, she's there all the time, has gone out to sea. And when they go out to sea, they never know when they're coming back. She said, we may or we may not see whales today. I said, okay. So we get out, we after we park in Friday Harbor, then we start trolling for whales. And they begin, and they're talking to all, they know all the other whale watching church. They're all on the phone. Have you seen the whales today? No, no, no. So we spend incredible blues, a lot of time strolling through these beautiful waters where the sky and the water come together. And there are no whales. 4% of the time of year, there are whales. And there wasn't. I can't tell you, it was a very long 2 hours back on that boat. Our whole family was just devastated and frustrated. We wanted to be so excited because it was such a beautiful day. The natural says it's rarer that you have this blue of a sky day around here than we don't see whales. That didn't make it any better. Of course, a couple days later, we're walking around Seattle. We're talking to folks, and they're saying, oh, have you heard? The whales are back. It was like we had wanted so badly to experience this. And there was this sense of jealousy. These other folks had experienced that if we'd have chosen 2 days later, we would have experienced it. But how do you know? It was a sense of disappointment. I understand the sense of disappointment that Thomas feels. Thomas was a part of them. He was with the disciples all the time. And for some reason, he's away and he misses the arrival of Jesus. And Thomas knows Jesus enough to know and to ask the question, why did Jesus wait till I was gone before returning? Why didn't Jesus wait till I got back before he arrived? Thomas isn't really a skeptic. He's gotten a lot of a really bad rap that Thomas, this doubter. When we look at Thomas in the story, it really is more of a spurned lover, of a wounded friend, of someone in mourning, of why didn't Jesus wait for me to have this experience too, so that I could put my hands in his side and believe like all the rest of my friends. The disappointment gave Thomas plenty of reasons not to believe his friends. And then Jesus shows up, doesn't he? It's 8 days later, 8 days that Thomas has been unbelieving. 8 days he's been waiting for Jesus to show up again. You want to bet he ever went out for groceries again after that? He wanted to be there if Jesus ever shows up again. He had not lost faith in Jesus. He was waiting in his own sense of darkness, of his own sense of unbelief, for Jesus to reappear and to breathe on him too. This kind of faith is even more difficult and more courageous than a simple act of believing. It's really easy to say, okay, if everybody else believes, I'm going to believe too. But Thomas had to experience it himself. And so he wades through his own unbelief, which is the very definition of faithfulness. He had faith enough in Jesus to wait him out. So while he was disappointed and hurt, he did not give up on Jesus. He had the courage to wait. So once again, the disciples are in a closed room inside Jerusalem. They're still not really sure who all is out to get them. They're still waiting to see how this is all going to play out with the rest of the Jewish authorities. And Thomas is making sure he's in the right place at the right time, just in case Jesus shows up. And then he does. And Jesus comes and he looks directly into the eyes of Jesus, into the eyes of Thomas. And he addresses his own unbelief. Thomas, come over here. Put your hands in my wounds, in my hand. Look at my feet. And you want to see my side? Thomas didn't need any of that. He needed the experience. And as soon as he sees Jesus, He makes the most radical confession of faith that we find in the Gospels. Peter had already said, Jesus, you are the Messiah. I believe you're the Messiah. But Thomas goes even farther. He says, my Lord and my God. You are Jesus, the Messiah, my Lord. And you are the Son of God, I believe. He didn't have to touch him. He had to experience it. He had to experience the resurrection. This is what resurrection faith is about. It's not about just about what we believe. Do we believe Jesus came back from the dead? But it is about, are we willing to experience it and allow it to change and transform our lives? Jesus looks at Thomas, and he actually looks straight down through history at you and me. And he says this, Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are all of you gathered here at First Baptist Church Cornelia who confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, as Paul tells the Romans. You have not seen the risen Lord with your eyes, yet you have found a way to be in his presence, to experience resurrection life and faith. And it changes our lives. Sometimes we are like Thomas and we miss it, aren't we? We miss the presence of Jesus. We miss his calling in our lives, like Thomas. While others grew up with faith, we didn't. While maybe our spouse has experienced something powerful with Jesus, we just haven't. Or maybe it's someone at work, or maybe it's someone at school, or maybe it's someone else in our family. They have experienced Jesus. They have experienced Jesus calling them and breathing on them and sending them out into the world. And we've missed it. Maybe we've checked out, say we're too busy for any of that religious stuff. Maybe we're too busy making a living to ever listen to what Jesus might have to say about what we are to do with our lives. Maybe a situation or an event was just too awful or devastating or painful for us to ever listen that Jesus needed for us to hear. And we missed it too. Whatever the case, there are those to gather who are here today who are very much like Thomas. We have missed it. And the story of Thomas is that it's never too late. The resurrection is still working miracles in our lives this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow, and forever and forever. Jesus is still transforming people's lives through his resurrection. When we have experienced the resurrected Jesus, like Thomas, to do that, we have to be intentional about our lives, putting ourselves in places where we know God shows up. Maybe that means making worship a priority in our work life, in our life. Maybe it means getting involved in a Sunday school class that makes us feel welcome. Maybe it means reading the Bible more because we know God shows up in his living word. Jesus wants each and every one of us today to make that same confession of faith that Thomas made. My Lord and my God. That's why John wrote the entire gospel. He says that at the very last verse of this chapter. He wrote this book so that you and I may experience resurrection life. So that these stories that are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, my Lord, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name, abundant, passionate life. This is what happens when we make space for resurrection in our life. We don't miss it. Instead, we experience Jesus, and we are sent out into the world, just like Thomas. Will you pray with me? And so, Lord, today, those of us here who have missed it, who have missed your calling, who have missed your presence, who have missed your salvation, we pray that you will give us the courage to wait in faith so that you may transform our lives and send us into the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you for our hymn of invitation, hymn of response. It's hymn number 290, I Am Thine, O Lord. As we sing, I'll be down front. If today you need to make this your church home or follow Christ in baptism, come down front, join me. We'll pray and we'll introduce you to our church family. Let's sing together.
And it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord.
Have a seat for just a moment to introduce you to a family that today is coming. I'm going to have Bobby bring everybody up, and we'll finish all of that at another time. But I want everybody to come and meet you all. Bobby, are you always surrounded by this many women?
Always.
It's a wonderful, wonderful curse. I know. Y'all come out. All right, I'm going to try to introduce you to everybody. This is... For lack of a better, there are other last names that go along with these folks, but pretty much this is the Barry family. This is Bobby and Helen, and Bobby and Helen have moved up here from the Beaufort, Georgia area. And then they have two daughters. Let's see, Melanie and Lisa are their two daughters, and then Melanie's children, no, Lisa's, I'm getting, Laura and Jennifer. right? And then Melanie has Emma and Mason, who are about 9 and 6 or so. And but they're coming to move their letter from First Baptist Church, Beaufort, up to our church. They all live over in Demarest and are now coming to say that they've felt God moving in their life and are calling wanting to join their faith stories with the faith stories at First Baptist. Last week they took 2 of our middle rows when everybody showed up together. So we're so grateful to have all of y'all here today. And if you will celebrate with me their arrival and celebrate their joining their life with our life, if you will just simply affirm them with a hearty amen.
Amen.
We are so grateful to have all of you here, all these different generations. And we look forward to seeing how, as I said in our prayer, not only to see how God's going to bless you through the life and the ministry of our church family, but also to see how God blesses us as y'all begin to find your places of ministry and service among us and into our community. So I'm going to invite you all, church family, to come by and introduce yourself. We should have kept the name tags on. We had name tags on in our first class today. But you come by and introduce yourself, and we'll get to know each other as the weeks go on. So let's stand now for our time of benediction. And Miss Jane, welcome. This is the Berry family. This is Miss Jane Ferguson will be y'all's your deacon. And I'll invite her just to come and stand and welcome with you all as everyone comes through. Okay? So join me now as we pray in our benediction. Let's pray together. And now, O Lord, as we go, send us out as your ambassadors of resurrection. So, Lord, that we may bring light to the darkness, hope to the hopeless, and joy to the world. Amen.